carefully. Because I'm going to tell you what is about to happen.
This is my father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems off so strong. God is the ruler, yeah.
So this new sermon series is going to be called Last Supper, which again is why we will have our communion at the end of the message. I'd like you to watch the video clip to prepare our hearts for this message.
Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Someone at this very table.
Someone in this room? Who? One of you, brothers? Who? Tell us who, and we will bind him and gag him and throw him in a pit so he can't do it.
Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had never been born.
Just say who it is, and we'll make sure that man wishes he'd never been born.
I need a moment.
I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the passage that inspired that scene. It's going to be in John chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 21 to 30. And this is what the Apostle John records. Now Jesus was deeply troubled and he exclaimed, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom he could mean. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask, "Who's he talking about?" So that disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus responded, "It is the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl." And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, "Hurry and do what you're going to do." None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. We know which disciple betrayed Jesus because we live on this side of the Gospels. But if you can imagine, the other men at that table had no idea who it was. And this brings up an interesting question. Why would Judas betray Jesus? Was he trying to force Jesus' hand? Jesus wasn't moving quickly enough, so he was going to push him a little bit? Was he frustrated how Jesus was carrying out his ministry? "Come on, Lord, let's usher the kingdom in." Was he simply fated for such a role? Or was he truly at his heart an evil man? While you could make a case for any of those explanations, I think there's one thing that I've not mentioned that's staring us right in the face, and it's the one that I want us to explore this morning together. In order to do that, we have to move from this scene at the Last Supper to another meal that happened much earlier in Jesus' ministry. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 6. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, this will be on page 857. We're going to begin reading in verses 1 to 13, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open here. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Soon Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. We call it the feeding of the 5,000, but did you see here? 5,000 was just the men. So by the time you would count women and children, this could have been a crowd of 15, maybe 20,000. And Jesus took the loaves and the fish, and people had all of their fill, and there was plenty left over. Now for the people gathered this day to hear Jesus, to see his miracles, and to receive this free meal, this would have been very reminiscent to these Jews of the time in ancient Israel's history when God fed them manna when they were on the way to the Promised Land. Do you remember that? They escaped Egypt, they're out in the wilderness, and they don't have anything to eat. And God made something appear on the ground every morning called manna. Do you know what the word manna means? It literally means in Hebrew, "What is it?" They didn't know what it was, but God told them they could eat it. And they ate it for breakfast and lunch and dinner. I can't imagine all the different recipes they must have had to come up with to keep it interesting. But it sustained God's people. It was like bread. And when they saw Jesus take these 5 loaves and 2 fish and produce all that food, it was again another miracle that attested that he had God power. It was reinforcing Jesus' teaching and the thing he was trying to communicate, that he was sent from God. If you want to read more about the manna, it's in Exodus 16. Let's pick our reading up in John 6, but I want us to jump down to verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he's given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For this is my Father's will, that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Did you see here? Jesus continued to talk to the people and teach them, and they totally missed his point. They were more interested in more food. They wanted Jesus to satisfy their hunger. But you know, as we think about this, the truth is, we all have a deep hunger for the bread of this world, don't we? Let's talk about the bread of this world. Now, honestly, it was not wrong for the people to be hungry that day, was it? And in the same way today, the desire that we have for things like food and clothing and shelter, they're not wrong. We need these things, right? The issue is that people then and people today want more than they're given, and they want it again and again and again. We like free stuff, don't we? And they saw a chance for getting that. The truth is, Jesus was offering them much more than a meal to satisfy the physical hunger of an empty stomach. He proclaimed himself to be the bread of life that would satisfy the spiritual hunger of an empty soul. Unfortunately, some people can't see much beyond their stomachs. You know what I mean? Let's pick up our reading in John 6 in verses 41 and 42. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread of heaven that came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? Now jump down to verse 60. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? The crowd wasn't alone in rejecting Jesus that day. It's easy to miss because there's another person who also left Jesus that appears at first to stay with him. Watch this as we pick it up in verse 66. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. And then Jesus said, I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil. He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12 who would later betray him. Did you remember that? At the feeding of the 15 or 20,000, right after that, Jesus already told the disciples one was going to betray. And then John tells us, because he's writing many years later, who it actually is. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a really curious verse, isn't it? John actually identifies Judas as the one to betray Jesus, and this is a foreshadowing of the very moment we saw play out in the video at the beginning of the message from The Chosen. And you can't help but think about our question again. Why would Judas betray Jesus? He'd followed Jesus for about 3 years. He'd seen the miracles. He heard the teaching that was with authority and not like what they heard by the people at the temple and the synagogue. Judas had a front row seat to know who Jesus was and to know what his message was, and to see all the confirmation that came from God. But I'd like to suggest perhaps Judas was thinking with his stomach, so he pursued the bread of this world. Later in the Gospel of John, we are told about a scene where Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha and his friend Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. And Mary, the younger sister, comes and does something extreme. She takes a jar of precious perfume and she anoints Jesus' feet, much to the horror of some guests. And when she is criticized, Jesus says what she's doing is a good thing. But then somebody else speaks up. In John 12, verses 4 to 6, John records this. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Judas hungered for the bread of this world. And the truth is, we all have a deep hunger for bread in this world. But all the bread of this world we seek and sometimes we're able to secure fails to satisfy our souls. Oh, it might be fun for a while, it might be satisfying for a while, but we always want more. And you don't need to look any further than Judas to see this is true. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 to 5, we read, "Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people met to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Then they bound him and led him away and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and elders. 'I've sinned,' he declared, 'for I have betrayed an innocent man.' 'What do we care?' they retorted. 'That's your problem.' Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself." He was so filled with remorse, not repentance, just remorse, and he ended his life because seeking the bread of this world did not bring the satisfaction he desired. And again, we all have a deep hunger for the bread of this world. Some people, it's fancy cars. Some people, they keep moving on up to a bigger and fancier home. For some people, they chase the almighty dollar. For some people, it's fame and popularity and followers through social media. We're all tempted by various things that at a basic level we need, but if you keep wanting more and more, it can lead to some serious heart issues. So I want to ask, can we just stop with our thinking with our stomachs for a moment and think with our souls about what we truly need? We may identify a number of things, but for the time we have together this morning, let's identify one of the deepest needs that we have. When we think with our souls and not with our stomachs, how can we not see that one of our deepest needs is this: to be forgiven for our own betrayal of God? We talked in ABF this morning about Peter. Most of us can relate to him because he kept messing up. But Jesus kept loving him and he kept forgiving him, even when he denied him 3 times. The truth is, we've all betrayed him and we need to be forgiven. Our stomachs hunger for the bread of this world, but our souls roar for forgiveness. Forgiveness for the times that we've done what we ought not do, for the times that we've not done what we ought to do. Stunning acts of betrayal to the God we claim to believe in. And this morning I want to ask, if we could have forgiveness, if we could have that sort of bread that would satisfy our souls, if we could have that forgiveness, how satisfying would that be? In John 6:35, in the middle of the chapter that we were reading, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the great truth that's tucked away in the feeding of the 5,000. And it's brought out into the open like never before in the upper room around that table. Jesus is the bread of life that satisfies our soul's deepest hunger. And I can't think for a better way for us to wrap this message up than to celebrate together that Lord's Supper. This whole sermon series is going to be about the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples. And as we celebrate each week, we call it the Lord's Supper. The makers of The Chosen sent us another clip that I'd like to use as part of our communion meditation today. It will be a familiar passage of Scripture, but it will be played out on the screen. And so I'd like you to watch as the disciples experience this that night.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Amen.
Normally, this bread is to remember and celebrate our redemption from Egypt into the Promised Land, from slavery into freedom. Tonight, we celebrate your redemption from sin because of me. Take and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Amen.
Normally, the wine allows us to remember and celebrate the blood of the Lamb spread on the doorposts of our ancestors. But tonight, likewise, this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of me.
Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, it is so amazing to see this scene during the Last Supper as Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. A meal that was to commemorate the Hebrews' freedom from slavery in Egypt. And in this Passover meal that used all of these different foods to remind them of the bitterness of their slavery and the way that they left Egypt in a hurry, the blood of the lamb that was put over the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over their house, all of those things came together in this Last Supper as Jesus was proclaiming himself to be this Passover lamb. And because he asked us to remember him in this way, we pray that you'll bless these emblems of bread and juice that remind us of his body and his blood as we celebrate our freedom from the slavery of sin that came to us through the death of Jesus as the Passover lamb. Be with us as we take the bread of life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you gave your life in our place. You paid the price for our sins so that our relationship can be restored. And Lord, we are here today because we do believe that you are the bread of life. We do believe that you are the Savior of the world. We do believe that you were the one sent from God the Father to restore us to a right relationship with him. Thank you for loving us enough to come, to teach us, to show us your miraculous power, and to die for us. And we praise you, Father, that you did not leave Jesus in the grave, but that you raised him up. And just as we've been learning in the book of Daniel, that he is your anointed one who will be given all authority and all praise and all honor and all glory and rule forever. Thank you for these things, and it's in his most precious name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
God.